And Father, we pray that your word that we've heard may penetrate deep in our hearts, and we might be listening to the still small voice within, that it might reveal to us that which is gift to us this morning. Amen. Spoke of some terrible, terrible things happening in this world. Signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. Things in the atmosphere, things in the world that we have always taken for granted as stable and will always be there. And yet, there are signs of change. As world leaders in the United Nations gather tomorrow in Paris for the summit on global change, they will be addressing some of the issues that the signs of that which is around us in our environment, in our atmosphere, the global warming effects that has on the stability of our world, the fear that that can bring, and the devastating consequences, usually for the poorest in our world, are things that Jesus couldn't have known about in one sense as a human being, yet he warned us would be happening. On earth, he spoke of things happening in the sea. People will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea, he said. Now, the sea, of course, for the Jewish people, wasn't just about that watery stuff with a beach nearby. It was a symbol of all that is evil, all that is mysterious, all that is deep and dark and impenetrable. No Jewish person would ever swim in the sea because it was a symbol of evil. And so when Jesus talks about people fainting from terror and in nations being in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea, he's talking not about big waves. He's talking about the ways of evil that are coming upon the world. And we have seen and continue to see that wave upon wave of those who are driven by evil and who are seduced by the powers of darkness. Verse 26, Jesus speaks about people fainting from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. These events that Jesus' words allude to are also, though, in the context of another event. These are the events of the last days, as theologians call it. But these last days are the last days before the event of all events comes. For at that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. The cloud representing the presence, the Shekinah of God. The cloud that enveloped Moses on Mount Sinai, the place of mystery and awe in the presence of the unknowable one who makes himself known. At that time, people will see the Son of Man, that is Jesus himself, coming in a cloud of power and great glory. The question, of course, is what are we to do in the face of these events, those terrifying ones, but those awesomely terrifying things too. And Jesus makes it very, very clear. When these things happen, when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. That is the completion of God's great purposes for the world, the ultimate overthrow of evil, and a new heaven and a new earth, such as we heard described in Revelation 21. And Jesus speaks in a parable, doesn't teach without parables. He helps people to understand, and using the humble fig tree. And he says, look at this fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. In other words, it's spring, summer is coming because the fig tree is getting into bud and starting to bring forth leaves and then fruit. Even so, or in the same way, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. In the same way, the kingdom of God, which is now in its not yet phase, it is here, but it's not quite fulfilled. There is a sense in which the future reign of the God of love in its fullness is coming. It's not here now, but it is coming. Your kingdom come, we pray. Your will be done. And then that, in one sense, is the Advent prayer. The Lord's Prayer is the prayer, perhaps more than any other season, that we pray with passion at Advent. And how interesting. How interesting it is that this great prayer for the kingdom coming and overthrowing all that is against God's kingdom has met such opposition from it being shown and seen in perhaps one of the great events of Christmas, and that is the launch of the new Star Wars movie. For, as you might have seen or heard, the Church of England has put out a prayer, the Lord's Prayer, which we'll see in just a moment, and is now, quote, dumbfounded and bewildered by the refusal of the country's leading cinemas to show a 60-second advert promoting prayer, calling it plain silly, that could have a chilling effect on free speech. I'd like, if you haven't yet seen it on media, Johnny's going to play it for us, I hope, on the screen. Just see what you make of this for the next 60 seconds.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day
our daily bread.
Forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those
who sin against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
Thine is the kingdom,
the power and the glory,
forever and ever.
Well, of course, since the three main cinemas, the Odeon, View, and the third one, Cine World, banned that from being shown before the Star Wars movie, even though it had been given permission by the Cinema Advertising Authority and the British Board Film Classification. That has gone pretty much viral all over the place. So many more people are watching it now in order that they might see why it's being banned. And so the Lord's Prayer, in God's typical way of overcoming evil with good and using evil, suffering things to bounce, as it were, back his kingdom coming, is making it possible for prayer to be seen for everyone, and seen as a prayer that is prayed in every and any context, at every and any time. It couldn't be more clear that prayer is for everyone and is practiced everywhere. And it is prayer that Archbishop Justin Welby has made the absolute priority for the way the church can experience God's renewal and prepare or pre-prayer ourselves for God's coming. He said in 2013, if we want to see things changed, it starts with prayer. It starts with a new spirit of prayer, using all the traditions, ancient and modern. But when it comes, it will be linked to what has gone before, but it will look different because it is a new renewal for new times. What Jesus' message is wanting to be clear about is that in these end times, however long they last, Jesus is calling his disciples to keep hope alive. And one of the ways that they can keep hope alive is by doing as Jesus teaches and praying in the way that Jesus has taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done in this dark world as it is in heaven. This is one of the keys to keeping hope alive. And I wonder what other things that you find keep hope alive in your lives. Just have a think for a moment. And if you want to just shout out a couple of things that help us all to appreciate what you do when you're feeling really, and really like, oh, what's the point of going on? What's happening here? What is it that stops you falling into despair and rekindles hope and confidence and even joy? Just turn to the person next to you if you want to, just for a moment, and just share one thing that might do that for you. What do you do in practical terms that can help? Just a moment. Okay, thank you. I'm sure you haven't had enough time to do that yet, but I appreciate your willingness to engage in that. Just, is anybody like to just shout out a thing that they found particularly helpful? Mike? Yeah, having good friends to talk with and to pray with. Thank you. Anybody else? Helen?
Joe, when I'm feeling rubbish, I often email Diane, and she emails me back a YouTube worship kit.
Great. Worship your way through. That's a good motto, isn't it? And that sense of asking somebody else, saying how you feel rubbish, as Helen put it, and sharing that with somebody, and then somebody else coming back with something that is positive and practical, is a great thing. Worship and sharing. I can't quite see. Looking at the potential of young children. Yeah. Yes, that's a tremendous thing to do, to see that, how that can come. Thank you. There was one other person here. Bill? Right. Yeah. Yeah. So that's helpful. I don't know if anybody hasn't thought of doing those things. That could be something you could try and develop, maybe something to talk about over coffee after the service. But God has given us so many resources in terms of what can really help keep hope alive. And the scriptures themselves are a source of such great hope that we can pray out of the scriptures. We can encourage through worship songs, through hymns that are based on scripture. We can speak words that are rooted in the truth of scripture. For St. Paul says in Romans 15, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance, taught in the scriptures, and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. There is a real resource in God's word that gives us hope. Even the things that happen to us when that are terribly difficult to cope with, when they're seen in the light of God's word and the truth of his insights, enable us also to kindle hope. Suffering, as St. Paul says in Romans 5, is something that he was found to rejoice in. Because he says, we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. And this is why, to be able to share the things that are happening and the rubbish stuff that we're going through is so important. Because it's sharing those things with people who will listen and understand, that can reflect something and create the opportunity for God's hope to come forward. The stories of people, the stories of suffering, the things that we see on children in need through our mission partners, what things that we share in our life groups, are all fuel for kindling hope within us. And as we look forward to the Christmas that lies ahead, we in turn can become people who bear that hope, hope bringers in our everyday lives. As St. Peter writes, always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is in you. And you'll find on the website, the LICC website, and in our own church, Christ Church Life, links to ways in which we can become bearers of hope on our front lines as we journey towards Christmas. We're called, therefore, by Christ to keep hope alive. And the ways we do that now and the ways we learn from others is all part of this journey of learning to live the life, a life of hope in our world. For we are called by Christ to be messengers of this gospel, people who are ready to take the opportunities to point others to where real hope can be found. So let me close by just praying for you. A prayer that St. Paul prayed for his friends in Rome, to which he wrote so much about hope. I just ask you to close your eyes and maybe just have your hands out in front of you to receive God's Spirit as I pray. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you continue to trust in him. Fill you with all joy and peace as you trust or hope in him, so that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you may abound or overflow to others with hope. We ask this in the name of Jesus, the one who comes to bring hope. In the name of the Father, who is the one who brings forth the reason for hope, and the name of the Holy Spirit, the one who kindles the flame of hope in our hearts. Amen. Amen. We're going to come.